Good evening. The reading is from Isaiah 42. It can be found on page 690. Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 9. It's headed, "The Servant of the Lord." "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, this is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and the new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you." Amen.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And as we come to your word, we ask that you would speak to us. We ask that in all that we say and that we do, your name will indeed be glorified. Lord, we need your wisdom, we need your strength, we need your working in our lives, and we ask that you would speak to us just now, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week Geoffrey introduced us to what we call the Lord's Prayer, and I'm sure it's probably one of the passages that we know best in the Scriptures, and I wouldn't be surprised if you haven't said the Lord's Prayer in some form or other many hundreds of times. And Geoffrey reminded us that this was a pattern for prayer, because it was his disciples that came to him and said, "Lord, teach us." They realized that they needed help when they came into God's presence. How should they pray? And so Geoffrey went through the whole prayer, but just introduced it to us. And this evening we're going to look at it in a little more detail, particularly looking at that section, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." So what's in a name? I wonder what you think of your name, the name that you were given when you were born. Names have a lot of meaning for many people. They cause confusion. So many names have different spellings. Graham and Anne. Is it G-R-A-H? Is it G-R-A-E-M-E? How do you spell that? And Anne, Anne's so commonly Anne with or without an E. So when I first met Anne at university, she was Anne without an E Kirtley. Now she's Anne without an E Powell. And every time she has to tell people that it's without the E. And even some close friends still sometimes get it wrong and spell her name with an E. She also has a second name, which I won't tell you. It's a lovely Welsh name, actually. And I know that when she was young, she was always very embarrassed about it. But it's a lovely name. I know when you go into shops, of course, you get these little discs with names on. And they're always very positive, aren't they? You know, the girl's name means beautiful or princess. Something lovely like that, and the boys are strong and handsome and princes, etc. I mean, if you went in and looked up the name Jacob, for instance, you probably wouldn't find a disc that said Jacob grasps the heel, or actually probably closer to deceiver. Is that really what you would want to be known as for your life? Well, of course, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, wasn't it? And the thing is, you do recognise your name, don't you? Many of you will know that I had deafness for quite some time. And yet, even so, I generally can hear my name, even in difficult situations. When I was first diagnosed, the company I worked for, Glaxo, sent me for a consultation to the National Ear, Nose and Throat Hospital near King's Cross. And I was amazed. I went into this clinic. It was a huge clinic for people with hearing problems. And when it was your turn, was it up on the screen so you could see it? Nope. A nurse or someone would come out and they would yell your name out. And I sat there thinking, this is crazy. Here's all these people with hearing problems and we're expected to hear our name properly. The first time Anne and I ever went to Bolivia to visit Ben and Roz, we went via Madrid. And, of course, the other thing which is horrible are announcements, aren't they? Station announcements, airport announcements. Well, thankfully, most airports don't use announcements now. They just tell you to look at the screens. But we went via Madrid, and while we were waiting there, I kept hearing our name being called out. And in the end, I thought, well, we'd better go and see what this is about. You know, they keep calling out Powell. It turned out to be they were calling an announcement for the flight to São Paulo, but in Spain the names sound so familiar. So names are important. Hallowed be your name. God's name. How does God introduce himself to us? Well, there's that famous passage, isn't there, when Moses was in the desert and he sees the burning bush and he goes to the bush and God calls out and speaks to him and God gives him a really difficult task. And God says to Moses, I've got this task for you. And Moses said, well, if someone asks me who sent me, what shall I say? And God said, I am. I am. I'm told that in Hebrew, the word I am sounds very like the name of God. And that's how he introduces himself to us. And I thought this evening we'd look at that, the passage and Peter read to us from Isaiah and chapter 42. And God there says, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. And it's a gorgeous, glorious passage, this, isn't it? And it really brings, in fact, it brings the triune God to us. It introduces us to God the Son. As it reminds us of how humble the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be. It talks about the God who breathes into us, and that reminds us of the Holy Spirit. And then, I am the Lord, that is my name, God the Father. And the Bible talks about God as being a jealous God. And of course, we tend to think of jealousy in a particular way. I suppose we think of it with siblings, perhaps, who might be jealous about one another. And we think of it in a very negative way. But God says, I am a jealous God. He is jealous of his name. His name is very special. And we're going to look into that. And think about the Lord Jesus Christ, another very well-known passage that reminds us of what of Jesus' name in Philippians in chapter 2. We read that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And one other passage that reminds us of God's majesty. That Esther read it to us last week. And in Psalm chapter 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And she reminded us of the fact that it was from the lips of children and infants that his name will be praised. And she gave us, we saw some pictures of children in northern Iraq. And even through the suffering that was happening there, God's name was being known. So God's name is something very special. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another. So, what does it actually mean to hallow God's name? Not a word that we tend to use a lot nowadays. I looked up the dictionary and thought, it says to make holy, to revere, to respect, to honour, to consecrate. It didn't actually give this one, but I wondered whether we also talk about the fear of the Lord. Now, our culture doesn't go in much for honouring people and respecting people nowadays. Others do. I work for a big organisation, and I have many colleagues who are based in India, and I've noticed that when they are addressing senior managers, they will use, or madam, they use a very respectful tone. It's not something I would do. I haven't called anybody sir since I left school at the age of 18. Actually, that's not true. I think when I worked as a pharmacist in a shop, in shops they often still do use the terms for madam. But we don't really use, we don't go in for respect today, do we? And so what does it really mean for us? Honouring God's name. So, is it about using the right words and the right terms? I struggled with this because my initial thoughts are that it is not about using the right words. To be a little flippant, for a start, the question is, so if you needed to use the right words, what language does God speak? Is it Aramaic? Is it Greek? I don't think that even Geoffrey would tell us that that is the language that God speaks. Is it Latin? Is it the language of King James? Is it Victorian English? Or what is it? And the fact is that language and words has actually been used to create barriers. The church, to its disgrace, really, and the leaders in centuries past put up barriers to people. They said you could only read God's word in Latin, and the people who wanted to bring God's word in a language that everybody could understand were actually persecuted, and many were killed for that. Think of people like Tyndale. So using the right words sometimes gives the right impression, but that's what it's about, isn't it? It's about giving an impression, not necessarily about reality. I'm told that the Jews would not even write God's name in full. They considered it such a holy name, so they wouldn't even write it down. But the fact is that our words so easily deceive, don't they? And I'm so aware of that. You think about James chapter 3 and verse 9. What does James say about our words? He says, "With the tongue we praise God, and with the same tongue we curse man." So it's not about using a specific term or specific words. When I was a young Christian, I went to a church, and the elder brethren there would come to me if I had prayed out loud, and they would put me right because I hadn't used the right words. Thankfully, they didn't put me off completely, but they considered that that was so important. So, does honouring God's name mean using the right words, the right language? I don't think so. However, is it okay to treat God as my pal? Does it not matter at all how I address a holy God? Well, no, I think it does matter. It really does matter. But you see, it is primarily about our hearts and our attitude. Let me read a couple of those passages to you. Isaiah 29 and verse 13 talks about our hearts. The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips." So that would certainly fit in with the right words, wouldn't it? "But their hearts are far from me." And so God tells us, not what's coming out of your mouth, it's not the words that are on your lips that are so important, it's what's inside your heart. And if we'd gone back to Philippians, remember that passage that talked about your attitude. Our attitude should be the same as Jesus Christ, an attitude of humility. So it isn't primarily about the right words and the right description. It's about our hearts and our attitude. 1 John chapter 5 reminds us about God's love, doesn't it? And he says, "This is love for God, to obey his commands." So again, it's about our attitude. So when we come before a holy God, how do you come before him? You think about some of the people who met with God. What happened to them? What happened when Moses met with God? It says he hid his face. He realized that he was coming in the presence of someone holy. And God told Moses to take his shoes off because he was coming into holy ground. Remember how John had the vision on the Lord's day? And what happened when he came face to face with a vision of the risen Christ? It says he fell on his face. Do you remember the time when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus? A great group of soldiers, and they were looking for him, and Jesus said, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "We're looking for Jesus Christ." And he said, "I am he." And that word "I am" made them fall back and fall to the ground. And we did talk about fear. Is it right to fear God? And again, we think about fear in very much in human terms. But Psalm 111 reminds us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, hallowed be your name. Let your name be honoured. It's about our attitude. It is about our hearts. It is not about using the right words, the right expression, the right terms. So what does it mean to dishonour God's name? We need to look at the other aspect. Of course, we could immediately think about the commandments that God gave to his people. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, it talks about, "Don't misuse the name of the Lord your God." When it comes to seeing God's name being hallowed, how do you and I respond to the way God's name is used? Have we become so used to swearing and cursing that it doesn't really have any impact on us anymore? Do we stand up for God's name? Does it actually really offend us when people use God's name in that way? Does it shock us? God says, "Do not misuse my name." It's not necessarily, again, just about swearing. It's so easy. I've heard people come to me and tell me things in God's name. I've had people that come to me and say, "God has told me that this is what we should be doing." And as things have turned out, it turned and it became very obvious that this was not what God's will was. Here was somebody using God's name. And I would say misusing God's name just as much as using it as a curse word. So, when his name is misused, and we've already looked about, when our hearts are far away, I wonder how close, near you feel you are to the Lord, how near I feel, or do I feel that I'm far away from him? In Proverbs and chapter 30, it talks about really about a falsehood, false lies. Proverbs 30, verse 7 says, "Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonour the name of my God." When I lead a life that is dishonest, then I dishonour God's name. I do not hallow God's name. And a passage that really hits home for those of us who find ourselves up here. And Romans chapter 2 has a warning for us. Romans chapter 2 verse 21 says, "You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who brag about the law, do you dishonour God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. That's pretty strong stuff, especially when you're me standing here at the moment. You who seek to teach others. And again, it's about honesty within my heart, within my life. And in Deuteronomy also has a warning. If you do not carefully follow all the words of this law, which are written in this book, and do not revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, he will bring plagues upon you. That was a warning to God's people, Israel. So, our Father in heaven, I dishonour his name when I misuse his name, when I use his name for my own ends, when my heart is far away from him, regardless of what I'm saying, and when I disobey him, that is how his name is dishonoured. Hallowed be your name. God expects his name to be something very special and unique in our lives. But honour begins in my heart and not in my mouth, not in my speech, not in my words, not what I say to you, not what I say out loud, not what I pray out loud. Honour begins inside. The passage about love reminds us, doesn't it, that we can become rather like clanging cymbals, just meaningless, if we do not have love within us. Shall we pray? Lord, we can so easily come into your presence and recite the words, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And Lord, perhaps it is something that we have said many, many, many times. And yet we realize that you look into our lives and into our hearts. You look into the reality. And we pray that our motives, our hearts, our attitude will be something that will bring honour to your name, that will bring glory to your name. We pray that we will hallow your name in our lives and in our hearts. Lord, forgive us for the times when we are dishonest, when we pretend. Forgive us for the times when our hearts are far away from you. And Lord, we know that in our own strength, we just can't do this. In our own strength, we fail. And so we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. We pray that you would strengthen us, guide us, teach us, and lead us. We pray that in our lives, individually, and in this building, in Hartford Baptist Church, that your name will be honoured and will be glorified and will be hallowed in reality. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake, and so that his name will be glorified. Amen.